We're finishing our talk today with resident movie expert and podcaster Jonathan Young from Bombs Away. As we're trying to piece together what happened in the final months of Marilyn Monroe's life, we have to look to her work. One of the world's greatest stars being fired from a major motion picture was not exactly commonplace. Did that influence her? How? To understand why she was fired, we have to understand the broader landscape of Hollywood and 20th Century Fox. Elizabeth Taylor and her film Cleopatra heavily impacted the circumstances in which Marilyn found herself back in Hollywood. Today we start by talking about Cleopatra and end with some speculation about her movements during the last week of Marilyn's life. I will be interjecting a few times during today's episode to clarify and expand. And now, back to the interview.
Number one, Fox was dealing with the inevitable bomb that is Cleopatra, yeah. Right? They knew it. I feel like they knew it a year in.
All right. Just for clarity's sake, mm-hmm. for the audience, Cleopatra was a movie starring Elizabeth Taylor and mm-hmm. Richard Burton, and it was being filmed in Rome.
Rex Harrison, too. I love Dr. Doolittle.
Okay.
That's one of the one musicals that I will support from
so
back
funny.
In the day. Did you say I'm so white?
You're so funny.
I know. You're like, you're so white. I'm like, me too. No, Rex Harrison, I love Dr. Doolittle and the Push Me, Pull You, Little Llama, and like everything about that film.
Okay.
Like, I love it.
Cleopatra, which... It's being filmed by Fox. It was supposed to be this major deal. Being filmed in Rome on location. And
first London.
Okay. Well,
okay. Yeah.
You would know more than I would.
I could go on forever. And that's where I wanted to make sure that I didn't go on too long. But
right.
we're already at a point where
it wound up being this costly endeavor for Fox.
Hugely, hugely costly. Like to the point of like... When they were in London before Rome, they were spending upwards of $100,000 a day to basically have over 1,000 extras just sit and wait for stuff to happen that would never happen. Okay, Hugh Cronin was 4 months on set and literally called up another like director friend and was like, I'm just dying to work. Can you like put me in a cameo or something? And literally left that set, went to Paris, filmed a cameo, came back, and still wasn't needed. That's the kind of crazy that we're talking about. We're talking about sets that were originally like Liz Taylor had, when we're talking about actresses and actors that had like final approval, right? She only approved like two directors that could possibly work with them, right? And wanted to work in London, right? London had rainy days. And we're talking about a film that's supposed to be set in Rome and Egypt. Right? So the rainy days and the cold weather destroyed their palms, destroyed every single set because it was all made of like paper mache and things like that back in the day. Deteriorated the set. And so like take all that down and then the fact that Liz Taylor herself, this is an insane thing in Hollywood that I think we mentioned off air and I just wanted to bring it up, is that like actresses and actors seem to get insanely sick with like Liz Taylor got like the Asian flu, they called it, right?
Okay.
And like to the fact of like the London doctors had to actually give her a tracheotomy during the production of this, right? She got so sick that she couldn't breathe.
I didn't know
that. They gave
Jesus.
Her a tracheotomy, and then she could not perform on that. She went eventually recovered enough that like Hollywood themselves made it a big thing, gave her a Academy Award for the Magnificent Eight, I think.
Oh,
it's
no,
called
no. Something finger, wait, Butterfingers. Is the one where she played a prostitute. I'm sorry,
something
worker.
Eight, I forget what it's
Butterfield
called.
Butterfield 8?
Thank you.
Butterfield 8.
Okay. Gave her an Academy Award for Butterfield 8, which most in the Academy consider was a pity because of her recovering from this deathly virus. But, like, this is all the kind of things that lead up to, like, this giant inflation of a budget, like, beyond anything that anybody had ever seen, bankrupts Fox, right, to the fact that they shut the whole studio down, right? Meanwhile... all that in London, her husband at the time, which is Fisher, Carrie Fisher's father, you know, when he left Debbie
Eddie
Reynolds.
Fisher.
Yep. is like, hey, we're going to move this from London with the cold weather and the rainstorms to Rome, where it should be cast. And then they took the entire gigantic set and they moved it to Rome. And we're talking about, like, even in Rome, upwards of $70,000 spent every single day. And what's the quote? Who's running Hollywood now?
It was some executive, high-powered executive at Fox who said that the inmates are now running the asylum.
And it's absolutely true because not only her, but Rex Harrison, everybody, like they said there was upwards of like 70 cars with drivers waiting for people every single day to take them off the set, right? Yeah. This is the kind of inflation to the fact of the only thing that kept this movie going is that they would see the dailies for something and then executives are like, all right, keep going, I guess, right? And things so crazy that the cinematographer was like, hey, Rome at this time of day, at this like time of year would not look like this. So we got to wait 6 months till it would.
Right.
Like in crazy things.
Yeah. But so look, so Jonathan is right now speaking to the crazy inflation happening on set.
Correct.
And the movie itself.
Back on Fox.
Yeah. But back at Fox in LA, they to compensate for the money they're bleeding on Cleopatra, they cut everything, every other project.
Every
they
other
stopped
project.
Watering the lawns, so the grass just died. This
they sold property, which
down.
Is why Fox as itself is literally in the middle of like downtown LA, just as a tower, which is the Nakatomi Tower from Die Hard. That's literally all it is. Like, is like this very small thing. They sold all their property in order to compensate for this film.
Right. So and Fox is like bleeding to the point where like we might be bleeding ourselves into.
They were going
to
go into bankruptcy.
They were.
That was it.
And
the only other film that was allowed to film on set was Something's Gotta Give, because they believed that Marilyn and her star power and now the hype with that nudity that got like kind of revealed via her, who she herself like orchestrated the entire thing where it was like,
and
she said,
approved it to be used as publicity.
Yes.
And she said, because there was rivalry between her and Elizabeth Taylor.
I love this.
So when they asked her, Marilyn, can we use these movie stills for publicity shots? She said,
as long as you knock Liz Taylor off the front pages.
Yep. And so it's funny that in essence, you know, she was competing with the other Fox star, but that really worked to Fox's advantage in that regard, because suddenly they were releasing photos of nude Marilyn, or, you know, perceived to be nude Marilyn.
Right.
She was nude.
Well, it was basically like, hey, guess what? You're going to see a film. You've already seen Marilyn kind of nude in like Playboy and stuff like that. Right.
But, hey,
but this is a film.
Well, yeah.
You're going to see like her moving like 24 frames a second.
And this
nude.
Is going to be, like, this was their budget project that was going to save them, because Cleopatra was off the charts expensive.
On both.
Something's got to give. They're like, we've got Marilyn on the cheap. She's contractually obligated to record this one more time. And, you know, this is a pretty controlled movie. It's a bedroom comedy. We can get this filmed on without location. We can do it here in Burbank. And they were going to, that's what they were counting on.
Yeah.
And instead,
instead they had.
So here's what happened.
Yeah, they basically had Marilyn every single day either not showing up to set at all, right? Giving full excuses of the same kind of sicknesses and crazy stuff that we're talking
sinusitis,
right? Sinusitis, is that a real thing?
I don't know. I think that it was largely manufactured. I think she had a very slight temperature to the, you know, like 100 degrees.
I think it comes down to her anxiety.
I agree. She was so nervous about going on set. Occasionally, she would vomit. She would. There were times when Harvey Weinstein would pick her. Not Harvey Weinstein.
No. It was a Weinstein.
It
but,
was someone else. Yeah. Weinstein. Sorry.
It was Jeffrey.
FYI, his name was Henry Weinstein. He was a producer and basically Marilyn's handler. Good guy. Also, side note: sinusitis is a real thing. It's obviously inflammation of the sinuses, but I'm just not sure whether that condition warrants staying home from work. I mean, Tom Hanks, while he was filming Forrest Gump, came down with the flu right before that giant football scene, and he told the director how sick he was, to which the director replied, well, that's too bad, because you've got a shitload of running to do today. And he did. So if Tom Hanks can run down a football field in between doubling over with dry heaves, I'm pretty sure Marilyn could have teetered on her stilettos with a runny nose. God, was that mean? I'm sorry. The point is, these were excuses. I believe she was too neurotic to go to set, and she used minor ailments as excuses not to work. So anyway, Henry Weinstein. He would pick her up and at 6 a.m. in the morning, and then take her to set, and she still wouldn't be able to step onto stage until 11 a.m.
And she wouldn't make it elaborate excuses.
So
like, there was one time where,
she's
like,
scared.
The Tsar of Iran showed up.
Yeah.
And then, like, he wanted to show up to the movie studios, take a tour of, like, what, like, working sound stages, and wanted to meet her specifically. And they were like, please, you have to come. Like, you are almost half the reason he showed up. Like, and she came up with elaborate excuses such as, like, oh, but what's Iran's, like, relationship with Israel? And
yeah,
he literally had the Weinstein had to call, and, like, mind you, it's not Weinstein, like, we know, right? It's okay.
I love that we're now the Weinstein.
I know, because here's another shady, shitty part of Hollywood. Like, Hollywood is insane.
Yeah.
Hollywood is insane, and here's a part of it, guys.
Yeah.
Like, here's a major historical moment, like 1962 is this just insane moment in Hollywood history, and here it is. Like, he calls a rabbi, like a rabbi to the stars,
yeah,
and like literally gets him and her on the phone together and is like, hey, no, Iran and Israel at this point are good. They're good. And so she agrees to come to the studio and meet him. And then that starts up the relationship between her and the studios, where she starts showing up again for no reason, right? Like, other than this, right? So she.
So guys, she's chronically late. And she's chronically absent.
Right. Like, if it starts at 7, she's at 11 or noon.
Right.
She's showing up every day.
If she shows up.
Right.
Something like out of 21 days, she showed up on 18. We're talking about this kind of...
That's not bad, actually. Like,
no, I'm sorry. She didn't show up.
Oh, okay.
My mistake. Thank you for calling me out. No. Like, she just was not present until eventually George Cukor ran out of scenes that he could shoot without her. Right.
Which is insane in this world of Hollywood where, like, Fox is already... But, like, if you look at it from their perspective, like, you can't really fully hold them, like, you're like, oh, you guys are bad dudes. Like,
totally
they're
not
dealing
I
with, like, 4 years.
Fox.
Like, 4 years of Cleopatra.
Yeah, 4 years 4 years of Cleopatra bleeding money. And then Marilyn comes on and she's like, not showing up to set.
Just aloof,
18 days
right?
out of 21.
It's not,
just like, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Like, what a middle finger.
Yeah, it's
she
not.
She was not showing them respect, like, in their minds. I understand she was sick and she was anxious and she was dealing with some crazy demons.
Mm-hmm.
But she was not responsible, and I would have fired her.
But this
ass.
Is also
I would have fired her ass a lot
this is
faster
not what,
than Fox did.
This is not what Hollywood deals with nowadays.
No,
you know, like, they're the kind of people nowadays that is like, oh, you made a tweet, goodbye.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So it's like it's
because
so
you're
insane,
replaceable.
Right?
But Marilyn wasn't. That's the difference, and that's what Dean Martin said.
She
Look,
wasn't
I agreed
in,
to do a Marilyn picture. That's what I signed on to do.
Right.
And Marilyn's not on the picture anymore, and I'm not contractually obligated to fulfill my role. Like, I,
you're right.
You know, so stars were not replaceable in that era the way they are now.
No, they're not. They're really not. But at the same time, you're dealing with a studio that was on the verge of bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Right. And so, like, I cannot. I would have fired her as well. Like, honestly, if I was an executive and I was
so
already dealing
Fox
with them. Right. Because, like, they've already lost like so much studio space that they sold off as just property, like, to land development.
Yes.
They've lost, like, oh God, it had to be upwards of, like, I know the I forget the official report of how much Cleopatra is, like, but, like, it's got to be way more than that. Like, what they're inflating it to versus, like, what it really had to been.
I've tried looking for very minor tangent.
You're right.
We're running short on time, but
yeah,
I've tried looking for a Cleopatra documentary because of how interesting I find the studio overspending and the way it impacted them and almost bankrupted them, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, I found
I
one.
Can't find one.
I found
you
one.
Found one?
Yeah. That's
send it to me.
Okay. Yeah, because I think you need to know this. I think you need to know what they were going through with every single one of their actors, every single one of their budget demands, everything from moving from London to Rome, like all this stuff. And like when they picture and they see Marilyn as a possible like savior, so what if Cleopatra fails?
That's it.
And it's still not working?
That's it. She was like the savior. She was going to be the one like, we're bleeding on Cleopatra, mm-hmm. but
there's still star power.
Budget. We've got star power with Marilyn. She's going to save mm-hmm. the studio. And then she started pulling these antics.
Yep.
She was not showing up to set. She flew to New York, even though they were behind schedule to sing Happy
Here
Birthday
we go.
Mr. President.
Here we go.
And they were pissed about that.
Right. So, and this is that crazy era, like we said, 62, right? Where so many things that, like, when you think Marilyn Monroe, there's a lot of things that just come right into the psyche. And one of these is, like, her singing to JFK,
yeah,
happy birthday,
yes,
right? Literally left set, like finally was showing up to set and left set, like
she had permission.
Against, like according to a like eyewitnesses, she had permission. It was in the contract from like 4 months prior,
yeah.
But so that was yeah. 4 months prior when she was like going to cooperate.
Yeah,
now
exactly.
She hadn't.
So breaking it down, she had permission on this date to go to Madison Square Garden and mm-hmm. sing happy birthday to the president. It was scheduled well in advance, but then she started not showing up to set, and they ran way behind schedule, and they were bleeding money suddenly, and they were in budgetary difficulties.
I can't blame anybody
and
for
then,
this.
No, and then Fox, and so she's like, okay, well, time for me to go to New York, and they thought, no, we need you here to perform mm-hmm. on our set, and she's like, well, I have permission to go to New York. And like, to your point, Jonathan, that's when they said, well, that was when we thought that we were going to be on schedule. And
yeah.
we're not now, so you can't go. And she said, fuck you guys, I'm going.
Yep. And just went.
What happened.
And then did the iconic happy birthday, Mr. President, literally came back. And then after that, some other like bullet points are that she had her 36th birthday on mm-hmm. set. And the directors were adamant of being like, you do not give her that cake. You do not even say happy birthday until 5 o'clock when we've gotten a full day
yep.
out of her.
Yep. Her stand-in, Evelyn Moriarty,
mm-hmm.
is the one who went and bought the cake and got a big card that was signed by all the cast members. They didn't present it to her until 6 p.m. that day when wrapping or, you know, when shooting had concluded. And then they had this, like, happy birthday celebration, yada,
right?
yada. But that was, I believe, her last day on set.
Not sure on that one.
I was right. Her birthday was the last day she filmed on Something's Got to Give. A week later, she was fired. It was a sad moment because Fox thought they were on an upward track. On her birthday, Marilyn went home after a productive day, ostensibly in good spirits, and the following Monday, she was back to calling in sick, at which point Fox pulled the plug. Marilyn had showed up to 12 of 33 days of filming. Producer Henry Weinstein would later state he didn't know what happened that weekend to make her regress, but something happened. Whether it was just the fact she was depressed over her birthday, or the unglamorous way she celebrated her birthday, or perhaps something actually did happen that weekend, we don't know. But she resumed her absences, and Fox cut the cord. And Marilyn took a beating in the press. She became sort of a joke when it happened. Well, she already was. Her chronic lateness was an ongoing joke. She tried to be part of it at the Madison Square Garden event when they introduced her as the late Marilyn Monroe. It was no secret why she was fired, and Fox spoke very plainly to the press about it. They were no longer interested in protecting her image. They were pissed. Fox tried to replace Marilyn on Something's Gotta Give, at first with Lee Reddick and then with Kim Novak, but Dean Martin said, whoa, 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 I signed on to do a Marilyn picture. It's in my contract. No Marilyn, no picture. And Fox was left holding the footage of an unfinished movie while about to lose their shirts. It was not a good moment for anyone. It's interesting to contemplate how the pressure Fox put on Marilyn, combined with her own stubbornness, her fear of performing, her 36th birthday, how this cocktail of circumstance and emotion played a role in her state of mind that summer. What mattered? What didn't? Leading to the day she died, August 4th.
there are eyewitness accounts of her being at different places right before her death, right? One of them being at the Cal Nevada Lounge. Do you know about this?
I do.
Okay, right? Which is so interesting because, like, anybody who's about to go, like, and see the Bad Times at the El Segundo Lodge, it's literally, like, the same, like, what's based on that movie.
Saw that movie.
No, it's not out yet.
Oh.
Right? And it's, like, it's with Thor. What's his name? Chris Hemsworth. Right, it's Chris Hemsworth and like a whole
But the Cal Neva Lodge was owned by Frank Sinatra,
right?
Dean Martin,
right?
Sanjay Khanna.
Apparently, the same week that she died, right? She was at this lodge, and this is the same time that like the main mafia boss of like
Sanjay Khanna,
right, was there. Right, including like Sammy Davis Jr. and Sinatra himself were all there for some sort of performance, right? And it's so like when you look at it, it's so Goodfellas.
The weekend before her death, right? You're talking about,
right? And yeah. She was there,
yeah.
And apparently she had a major meltdown there.
Okay,
right, where it was basically like, quote, why the fuck are all these people staring at me, right? When she walked into a room,
wow.
and they said, yeah, one person literally raised their hand and was like, because you're Marilyn Monroe, right? Mm-hmm. But this is something that's been corroborated by a couple people, but also other people are like, that never happened.
You know what? This needs to be, okay, so.
That's why I wanted to reveal too much.
No, I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah.
It's something that I have intentionally, but conflictingly,
mm-hmm.
stopped myself from speaking about on this podcast because I didn't.
See, I didn't know.
No, I'm glad you brought it up,
mm-hmm.
because it's not on me and you brought it up.
Yeah, it's my fault, guys. Yeah. Guys.
It's his fault, guys. So let's talk about her final weekend. Marilyn died on a Saturday. The weekend before that Saturday, accounts place her at the Cal Neva. We've talked about that hotel. There are enough eyewitnesses that make me believe she did go there. I also believe that she became drunk there. So, what? That was not uncommon for Marilyn. There's no reason to believe anything beyond the usual night of over-imbibing occurred. If she did get dramatic or have a quote-unquote meltdown, that itself might not have been uncommon. If it was, she either had a typical bad, embarrassing night of drunken behavior during which nothing significant happened, and she was fine afterwards, or she had a drunken emotional episode that was indicative of her fragile state the week before she died, or she became drunk and something bad happened to her. There's a book called Marilyn Monroe, The Final Years, which confuses me because it seems on its face so well researched. We're talking every day of shooting on Something's Gotta Give, documented and shown in this book. Flight reservations, schedules, timelines. It seems meticulously researched. And yet, toward the end of this investigative book, the author takes many liberties. He claims that Marilyn Monroe went to the Cal Neva that weekend and overindulged to the point of semi-consciousness. And then, and I'm sorry to even report this report, she was gang-raped that night. I was not convinced, due to the lack of sources cited, that this took place at all. I remain unconvinced. I'm only relaying any of this speculation because Jonathan brought it up. The following week, she returned home, had furniture delivered, saw people socially, spoke to Marlon Brando, among others, you know, on the phone, and they sensed nothing wrong in her demeanor. That doesn't mean she couldn't have been struggling with a trauma privately, but I don't see enough evidence to convince me this is more than just conjecture. And let's remember, because we're speaking in the context of her final picture, that Marilyn was supposedly in high spirits because of nothing other than something's got to give. After Fox fired her, they each took some space and realized how much they missed each other. Aw. Well, let's be honest. They realized they needed each other. Fox had to finish that picture, and Marilyn needed her career resuscitated. And after much negotiation, they reached terms to resume Marilyn's work on Something's Got to Give. The ink never had time to dry, and the cameras never had time to roll. Yes, she'd been fired from Something's Got to Give,
But
she was on the horizon of being rehired at a higher price, at a higher salary.
Right, at $200,000.
Yes.
Like double.
And that would have restored her image to an extent. She was fired for having emotional difficulty. Her last divorce was due to emotional difficulty. She was an emotionally challenged person. And so who can...
Let me throw it back at you for a second.
All right.
Let me ask you.
Yeah.
Right?
What's up?
Looking at the footage. What's up? Looking at the footage that is Something's Gotta Give.
Yeah.
Right? Looking at the 37 minutes that some editor out there deemed was worthy of at least showing us.
Yes.
Right? Because that's what we both, in conjunction, have seen. Like, I know you saw that. You know I saw that.
Yes.
Right? That's the only thing that we both know that we've seen, right, together.
Yes.
Right? Can I ask you outright, do you think that a person, right, would have thought, like, if, do you think that Marilyn would have thought that this movie would have been a success and that, like, it really would have been able to, like, reach the next stardom?
I think she thought it would have been a success. Not
via star power alone? Is that what you think? Because that's the only reason that I could justify it. But then again, 2 out of 3 stars, I didn't know who Sai was. That's what. What's her name?
Sid Charisse?
Sid.
Sid.
Sid. Yeah, it's a weird name for a woman, a Sid.
It is. It's C-Y-D.
That's right. I was going to say Sid.
Weird.
Like, sorry,
yeah.
Sid. sorry, guys, I'm the expert here. I know, but you know what I mean? Where it's like, when you think of this and the star power that's going on there, like,
I think that she was making the best of a bad situation.
Exactly.
She didn't want to make this movie. She never wanted to make it.
But she never would have killed herself over it or anything that would happen. Like, the fact that she was fighting Fox for a raise and everything like that, like, she had to have known. There's no way in Hollywood that the rumor of Cleopatra wasn't going around like fucking wildfire.
Yeah.
There's no way that she wouldn't have known that and then used it to her advantage.
I cannot imagine this picture alone drove her to suicide.
No.
But I think that she took a blow when she was fired in the press.
For sure. As anyone has, like, that's been fired in Hollywood. Yeah.
But I think she was on the cusp of recovering that image because she was about to be rehired and she had hopes that the picture was going to be completed and her image would be restored. So I think that she was not in a dire state, emotional state, due to her professional situation.
No. Like, things don't. And that's what I'd love to leave your audience with, is the fact that, like, things don't add up to a suicide.
Jonathan Young.
Yes, ma'am.
You are extremely entertaining. You know a lot about movies. If people want to hear this, you more.
Me?
Oh, you.
Well, they want to hear me?
If they want to hear you more.
Wow, okay.
How can they do it?
Oh, well, first off, if you search for Bombs Away, you know, in quotations, Bombs Away, on any podcast app, you're going to find us, right? It's two guys. The picture is two guys sitting in a movie theater, like, and that's it. Like, you're not going to find Bombs Away anywhere else that way. But if you want to dive a little deeper into our social networks, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you can find us at Bombs Away Show. If you want to reach out to us for an interview or you want to be a guest and be like, I have an amazing, like, movie that I want to talk about, we are more than welcome to have a guest on. I think you said you want to do Deep Blue Sea.
I do.
And I'm totally down for that.
Very down.
God, Shark Week, we'll do it.
Yes. Perfect.
Yeah. But we're more than happy to have guests on, me and my co-host Jarrett. Like, we kind of attack movies. So if you're ready to, like, just have a good time and make fun of movies, like, with, you know, no, nothing holding us back. That's kind of the whole thing. Please reach out to us, contact@bombsawayshow.com. And, that's really all I have. Like, that's it.
Perfect. All right,
yeah.
I love it.
Awesome.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thanks for listening. On our next deliberations, Dr. Stowe takes the stand.